This is the partner message for June of 2022, and it has been a long time since we spoke to all of you in this fashion, and it's a joy to be able to talk to you this morning. And also sitting beside me is Cheryl. We were married just over a year ago, and we are sitting on our porch. And this is an experiment. We've never done this before. I normally just jump right in and start talking. But I want to introduce you to Cheryl, and I want you to understand that she has a tremendous part in my ministry. We sit on this porch exactly as we are today, every morning, and we essentially do what we're going to do with you. And let's see what happens. I want to apologize, and I really mean that, for this long period where there's been no partner message. Of course, it all began with COVID. That just blew everything sideways. And then as we came out of COVID, I had some problems, or little ones, little procedures, but it put me in hospital, and there was a recovery period. And recently, like just back in January, we both had COVID, but we had absolutely no symptoms. But I came out of it with a cough, the mother of coughs, and in coughing, one of those gut-wrenching coughs, I broke three ribs, and the emergency room found it very difficult to understand that. But they sent me home just to hang loose. But a week later, as I thought I'm getting better, I sneezed, and the sneeze took those broken ribs and put them into my lung. And so my lung began to fill up with blood. And when I went back to the emergency room, I was taken directly to the ICU and spent too long there, and had to have surgery. And so those things have all contributed to not being able to find the time or the ability sometimes to do a partner message. But we're back, and we are back in a very different format. As I said, Cheryl is sitting beside me. And so really this is number one of a whole new series. And having said that, I want Cheryl to introduce herself. Many of you have met her. She was on the retreat last year.
I was just thinking about that because I really enjoyed the meet and greet, and Malcolm has the most wonderful partners, and I really appreciate, you know, the time we spent together then, and I'm looking forward to spending time with you this retreat coming up. But to tell you just a little bit about me, I didn't come to Christ till I was 33, and my 14-year-old daughter was very instrumental in getting me to go to church and had been praying for me. But when I came to Christ on March 17th of 1983, I was at a meeting, and Bill Glass was preaching on Tamar, and I was Tamar, and I shook all the way up to the altar, gave my life to Christ, and I was completely changed. I went into prisons almost right away, within a month, and I've been doing it for 35 years, so.
Yeah, you don't mean you were arrested.
No. I've never been arrested, but I could have been. I lived a very broken life, but I did have my children, I think, kept me from going to prison. But I was a model for about 15 years, and I had experienced every kind of horrible trauma that women go through. And so, therefore, it gave me a platform to preach to the women in prison, and I had a heart for them. In fact, the first time I walked into a prison was, I believe, in Georgia, and a huge, big woman came up to me and got in my face and said, "I want to know what you feel about me being a homosexual." And I said right away, "I'm not here to judge you. Jesus loves you." And she watched me all day long. And then at the end of the day, she came up to me and asked me to pray with her. So I think the big thing was that I didn't judge her, that I just told her if she asked Jesus into her heart, that Jesus would be able to guide her into the life that she needed to live. So anyway, I love going into prisons, and I've been volunteering then at Harris County Jail and became their staff chaplain within a year. And so I spent 10 years being staff at Harris County, which was the third largest jail in the whole nation. I had 2,700 female inmates and 65 female volunteers that helped me do Bible studies and touch their lives. But I love doing what I do.
I want, as these months go by, for Cheryl to tell you some of the stories that have come out of those many years working in prisons. It blows my mind. I've got my stories of not only people here in the States, but all over the world, and sometimes for some people, hair-raising stories of what happened in the jungles. But when I listen to Cheryl's stories of the grace of God that can come into murderers and transform them. And in one case that I'm sure one of these months she'll tell you of one lady who was executed, but she went to her execution giving praise to Jesus. It's a tremendous thing that we met. And I realized as the friendship developed that Cheryl had been taught by the Holy Spirit the love of God, the grace of God, and we fitted together like Lego pieces. and that is why we can sit here morning after morning and she can give input to what I'm saying.
Yes, and, I didn't have all the years as Malcolm had the experience when he was 14. With the Holy Spirit, my experience came when I came to Christ and then has increased over the years. But we have the same belief system and we're in union. The reason being is that when I went to the meeting at my church and heard him speak, that was in January of 2020,
yeah.
I believe. And he spoke on the prodigal, and I could not stop crying, not for sorrow, but for joy. Tears streamed down my face, and I was sitting right under his nose, as he says. And then afterwards, I went up to him, and I wanted him to do house meeting for us in the Hill Country in Marble Falls, but we met at that time, and it was COVID right after that, and we became such great friends. We spoke on the phone sometimes 14 hours a week.
Yeah,
14 hours a week.
Not a day.
I was going to say 14 hours a day, but no 14 week. Hours a week, and we just wanted to be best friends forever, but
right. Yeah, down in Landry's in Galveston, we made that sort of promise to each other we would just be best friends for life. It didn't last long because we were married in February last year. And it has been, and I say it again, to me the most amazing thing that we fit together in ministry and we fit together in the understanding of the grace of God. And that in today's world, if you go looking for that, I don't know if you'd find it, but the Holy Spirit organized that
yes.
in a very wonderful way without our mm-hmm. even wanting it. Neither of us wanted it.
No, I didn't. I was married for 35 years and I didn't plan to be married. But he is the most wonderful husband, and just it's amazing how we live inside each other and are able to know what each other is thinking and meditating on. And I can have dreams and visions, and Malcolm's writing a message on the very same thing. So,
yeah. So, I understand that John has emailed all of you with a grand list of everything that's coming up. And that helps me a great deal because I don't have to give you dates. You should have that letter. But I want to speak briefly of some of the subject matter. And the first, which is at the end of the year, in December, the first weekend of December, as usual, we are having our retreat, our annual retreat. This year is going to be down in San Antonio, almost at the airport, which is very good for many of you because you won't have to rent a car. The hotel will pick you up and bring you straight to the door. And that same bus will take you anywhere in a 2-mile radius, which gives you ample places to go to if you want to after the retreat. After the retreat, it's in the DoubleTree. And the reason we're not going back to Kerrville, if you were there last year with us, you might remember HBO had taken over the hotel and they were making a movie there. And the hotel just simply broke our contract just literally 2 days before we were to get there. And they told us, you will have to have another weekend and you can bring your people in 2 or 3 weeks' time. Of course, we wouldn't stand for that. But if you were there, you remember we put in another hotel on the other side of town. And to put us in there, they had to throw everybody out that was there. And then when we got there, the movie people had moved there too. And so it was an absolute disaster. I know those of you who were there didn't even know half of this. But for us, we just couldn't go back to a hotel that had so blatantly broken contract. And so we have ended up in a beautiful hotel down there in San Antonio, and the rooms are extremely cheap. We went to get rooms in another place that we thought would be very good, but per night, they were charging $250. And for some reason, they blamed that on COVID. And of course, we're not about to even suggest you pay that. But we found this one at $99 a night. And as I say, you don't have to rent a car. And everything is just beautiful.
And the ladies would want to know, North Star Mall is near, within the 2-mile radius.
That's why I said the bus would take you there after the retreat.
Yes. And there's Papado's and Cracker Barrel and a lot of the nice restaurants. And if you want, you can even take a taxi down to the river sometime while you're here. So we all want you to have a great time.
Yeah. And it will be special, at least for me. It is my 70th year in ministry.
Woohoo! We're celebrating.
We are. And of course, the retreat will be the summation of that celebration. It's interesting for me because the year that the Holy Spirit so transformed my life and healed me deep inside my emotions that were in a chaos because of World War II, and that same year, as I began to preach, Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, was made queen. And I remember the celebration and the coronation and all that. And so I'm celebrating my 70 years in ministry, and Queen Elizabeth over in England is celebrating her 70th year as being queen. And so it's going to be an interesting time for more than one reason. The subject for that retreat is living the rest of God. Right from the first chapter of the Bible, it speaks of a rest. The Hebrew word Shabbat, Sabbath, rest. And God invited us in Genesis 1 into that rest. And it was a rest that humankind never got into. They could not grasp it. And in Christ, Jesus is that rest become flesh. And he brings us into a life of rest and peace. That's the other great word associated with rest, shalom. And I'm not even going to start telling you what that means. But that's the story that we're going to pursue at the retreat, along with everything else that happens there. And so I just say that to alert you that it's going to be great. And of course, we have our Bible schools coming up. And if you have done 1 through 4, then this is number 5. When we are dealing for 13 or so hours with the sufferings, the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And that is massive, and it's so important because tragically there are multitudes that really have no idea what was happening at the cross. Most people have some idea that the Father, who is separated from the Son, beat up his Son with great wrath and anger in order to be able to find it in himself to forgive you. If that's the God you worship, I'm afraid I can't worship that God. He would be the ultimate abusive father. No, God forgives you not because he got his pound of flesh. God forgives because that's the way God is. God doesn't need to kill his Son in order to find it in him to forgive you. No, he forgives you because he loves you. And he was involved in the cross, not in punishing his Son, but in upholding him. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that, because that is the Bible school that will be coming up in September and a repeat of that in October. And if you have completed Module 4, then you can come to that. And also, I think John has already told you in the letter that we now are making the Bible school available on a course, just exactly, in fact, most of it is me talking the same as I do in the Bible school. And it's you can take the whole Bible school online now. And but as I say, John gave you that letter, and so that will be good. That's about all I wanted to say about coming events, because we're just recovering in terms of meetings. That first week when COVID became sort of official, I received emails and phone calls that canceled a whole year of meetings and speaking engagements. It was amazing. In 5 days, I was totally cancelled out, and it's never been restored. We just have not been traveling. The only one that has restored one of those invitations is in Myrtle Beach, and that too is on your letter that you received. And so both Cheryl and I will be going to Myrtle Beach, well, possibly by the time you get this recording, we will already be there. We shall fulfill that booking that was made at the beginning of COVID. And so it's interesting what has happened with COVID. We discovered, in desperation, Zoom. And so now we Zoom our Sunday morning service. And so many of you join us in that Sunday morning service. We started it just for some of the older folk in our little congregation. They were afraid to come because of COVID. So we discovered Zoom for them. But they told their friends who told their friends who told their friends. And now we have an entire congregation that extends all the way to Venezuela. We pick up people over in Europe and all
Africa.
The way to Africa. And the other way, we go into Hawaii. And so
Australia.
Australia, sometimes. They're 17 hours ahead of us, but it's amazing the hunger that people have. In Australia, they've joined our Bible school, and they show up in meetings by Zoom. And so if you have not joined us on Zoom every Sunday morning, you should do what John tells you to do in that letter.
I'd love to hear Malcolm talk about how he used to trek through the jungle to get to some of the villages, and now those same people. Tell them, hon.
Yeah, there's a place in Africa, it's called Benin, and I just happened to remember trekking to get to Benin. And now in our Bible school, we have in the villages there, the people on Zoom join us. It blows my mind that I'm sitting here in Bandera talking face to face instantaneously to people in Africa. And I think of the days I spent going through the jungle to these remote places, and now they have a computer and they get on Zoom. It's beyond me.
It's amazing what Zoom has done. And I think about Bible school, you know, to get on Zoom and to, you know, get your just get on the Bible school, and then you can also just go back and listen to the message over and over and over again that Malcolm teaches. And that's amazing to me.
Zoom has transformed the Bible school.
Yes.
You know, we used to have, well, I remember when we had 15, 20 students going through the school. And now I don't know how many, it runs into the hundreds, and all on Zoom. And so if you haven't used Zoom to keep in touch with us, I really would urge you to do so. It's been very wonderful. Do you have any of the letters that?
Yes, we have. Well, we get letters almost weekly from different people that have listened to Malcolm's message, some of them for years and years and years. I think there was an 80-something-year-old woman, you know, that wrote to us. And then we got this letter that said, "Whoa, W-H-O-A, The message you brought us about agape and eros, the first message on Hosea, the resurrection, any message, wow. The Holy Spirit really brought that message into every cell in my body. I can feel a new and ancient glow throughout my being. I'm so overcome by how much He loves us. The Spirit speaks so clearly through you, and that helps me see. And dear God, everywhere she's hearing. Anyway, she says, I'm so glad to get to listen and participate. Thank you for being you. And then this other letter was just, you know, just on a plain piece of paper. She wrote, your interpretations and insights are a tall drink of water in a dry land after long trekking. My mind is blown and the world rocked. I'm hanging on as whatever necessary shifts occur, free falling and flailing for now, but my peace is growing. Many, many blessings. And they send these with their donations, and it's truly beautiful. Malcolm, even a young girl, only what, 10 or 11?
Yeah. She's 13 and came to one of our Sunday morning services, and in talking with her, I could see she had a hunger for the Lord, and so I said, anytime you want to email me, feel free if you've got any questions. And then I get this email. When I was doing the series on reward and punishment, and it came from this 13-year-old girl, and she posed a question that, quite frankly, I had been waiting for. I thought, somebody out there is going to ask this question. I'm not going to bring it up now, because then I'd have to give you the answer. But the fact is, out of the thousands that are listening to these messages that I give on a Sunday morning, a 13-year-old girl was the only one that had the insight to see the question and to ask it. And that was a great thrill to me. If she has that kind of insight at 13, I can't imagine what she'll be like at 30. But this is exciting, the letters. I've told you before that we pick up the letters every morning, and nobody else does that. That's always been what I do, and Cheryl has joined me in that now. Mm. And I read every letter, but there's so much going on in preparation and the rest that I've never been able to answer all of the letters. But
the beautiful thing is, not only letters, but I will just give you an example in my own family. I have a brother, and his life has been touched by the message Malcolm has given. And my granddaughters, there is truly a hunger in the 11, 12-year-old. Now they're 13 and 12. So I just see how the love of God and the, revelation knowledge is being poured out through Malcolm's message. And it's amazing. I feel it, that he's preaching at a new level, that there are messages, especially the ones that I love, that we'll be sharing in the months ahead. But Jesus found me in my darkness. You know, that's the one message my brother has really been touched by. You know, there's so many, that message about the prodigal really blessed me so much, and it's touched the lives of my family. So anyway, I'm very grateful to be who I am today. I've had to rest, you know, and not go into prison during COVID, but that's about to open up again. So we're both just really grateful for God to use that time when COVID for us to be joined together. And so it's very exciting to me.
Yeah. Cheryl mentioned that my insight and speaking is a new level. And I'm aware of that. Usually I'm not aware of those things, but I'm very aware of that. And I think actually the Holy Spirit used COVID on so many levels, Zoom being, of course, one big one, but also I suddenly have not been traveling for a year or two. And so I had much more time to wait on the Lord and hear what he was saying. And I'm aware that I'm speaking now at a very different level.
And so, I really believe that COVID, God used COVID to slow me down too, both of us. And that is when the real union happened with Malcolm and I.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, do you mind if I go? I just need to share this. I feel like when Malcolm and I got married, we got married out in the country at some people that are supporters of Mannequin Ministry, which is my ministry. And it was a beautiful day, and it was a simple wedding. We only could invite 40 people, but what I didn't know, my two youngest granddaughters kind of escorted me up to the front where Malcolm was waiting for me. But after they pronounced this man and wife, we went over to our wedding cake. We're going to have some champagne. And I noticed my youngest granddaughter was weeping. And so I asked her to come up. And she wanted to do a wedding speech, which was the sweetest thing. She had the night before written a speech, and this says it all, because there was not a dry eye in the room. She says, "Hi everybody, I'm Caitlin. I am the youngest grandchild of five. I would like to thank everybody that came out for my Grammy's wedding today. I love my Grammy so much, and I'm so happy to be by her side on her big day. This is one of the best days of my life, and it will always be in a memory of how happy my Grammy and Malcolm are. Can I just say that I am so happy to see my Grammy get married today to such a wonderful man. I have never seen my Grammy happier, and I hope that they will live a wonderful life together. When I first met Malcolm, I instantly saw good in him and that he was the best man for my Grammy. I'm so grateful that my Grammy found love. I wish Malcolm and her the best, and I hope my Grammy will always know that no matter how far we are apart, that I will always love her and we will always be connected in heart. She definitely deserves everything she could imagine, and I am going to miss her so much. I don't know what I would do without her. All I want is to see my Grammy as happy as she can be, and I know that Malcolm loves my Grammy, and that from what I have seen is that they are really happy together." And this was a 12-year-old. It really touched everyone in the room. So, I'm sorry, I had to share that.
Well, that's okay. We didn't know where this was going anyway. So. I want to finish off by sharing with you, and those of you that have been with us since back in the 70s, you remember when we started this, that I promised you that I would be sharing with you whatever the Holy Spirit was saying to me that day, and not to sort of preach a message. And that's what I want to do. This is something that I'm sure in the next 6 months will become a message, and you'll recognize it when you hear it. But right now, it's just bouncing around in my spirit, and I want to share it with you. And as I've said, this is what we do every morning, and we share what's happening with both of us, and kind of nourish each other. But I want to share this with you. It's in Ephesians 4:1. He says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," that's Paul speaking, "I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." That's it. I couldn't get that out of my head. Worthy of the calling with which you have been called. To walk worthy in the manner. The first thing that I want you to understand, when it says calling, in English, we're very vague on that. You know, I can see you across the street and I can call you, and I'm trying to get your attention, and we say, I called. Or we use it on going to somebody's house, I called on them. And so the word becomes very vague. But the word in the Greek language here is very specific. It means what you are called. That is, it's talking about your name, what you're called, and specifically your family name. And so it's, I suppose today we'd call it your surname. It is the family that you belong to. That's what you're called. And also it gives you your identity. This is who I am. This is where I belong. This is where I call home. And this family is where I get my roots from. And my little part in this family is expressing it. And so this opens up a whole new thing, that you are to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling that you're called to. It is walk in a manner that's worthy of your family name, that you have been called to that. That is, you have been brought to this new identity. You've been brought to the realization of the family you're in. This is not your biological family. This you have been brought into the family, which is the Father's family, and Jesus has joined the human race. He became human, and so in that sense, he's our elder brother in the family. And the family spirit, that which is the throbbing reality of the family, is the Holy Spirit. And this is all outlined in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, and, well, really, in chapter 3, too. And then right at the end of that, he says, okay, seeing as this is the family you've been called now, your surname is the Holy Trinity, you are brought into that family. Now he says, walk worthy of that. In those first chapters, and of course we could spend forever just on those first chapters, but it gives you your identity, your family identity, which begins before creation. Ephesians 1, where it all begins, in verse 3, it says that before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. And chosen maybe is an awkward word because, in fact, I took a long time to get used to chosen. I associated it with when I was a kid in the playground and they were choosing sides, you know, of football or whatever they're playing. And I was always the last one. Nobody wanted me. And it was almost a fight as to who would have to have me because they knew I would mess up the whole game. I don't know. Anyway, and so I got this idea of chosen means that someone has to pick you. And, well, Have you ever thought of this, that when God chooses, he chooses out of his love, and he chooses all mankind. We are the chosen in the whole of creation. We who are humans are chosen to be those who are, using the word of Ephesians 1:3, to be adopted into the family of God, brought into that family, given an identity that is beyond mere human. We are humans that Christ is in, and we are in Christ, which brings us into this amazing family. And it's all by gift. I was speaking to a bunch the other day, and they were having, they'd been at it for quite a while, as to how do we get into the family of God. I mean, they were speaking specifically of Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. And they were saying, how do you become a branch? Well, with all their discussions and all their formulas that they brought up, the simple fact is that you were placed there by the Father, because it is love that brought you into the family. And this is who you are. This is not about when you die. Please, that's almost a cult here in the Western world, that Christianity is all about when you die. Essentially, it's got nothing to do with when you die. It's all about where you are today, now. And you are now. This is your identity. You have a new surname given to you by God. Do you remember, Isaiah 42, I believe, where he says that I have called you by name. And God calls you by name. That is, it's not what your parents called you. It's not what the rest of the world calls you. God has called you, and he gives you the name. And that name is that you're in Christ. You're a member of the family. You are beloved. And it's all in the present tense. This is who you is. This is when you say, I am now, me. It's who you are. Well, then it says, you are to walk worthy of that. That's a word that we miss the point today. It's a sort of the old wine of religion. I'm unworthy, I'm no good. Flush that away. It's the word, and I know this is, you know, I study words. This goes a long way back, although we still do use it today in some areas. Worthy means simply balanced scales. Do you remember, some of you will, of going into the old general store when you would buy straight out the sacks? Do you remember that? Flour out of the sack, and wheat or barley or whatever. And you would weigh it in those old-fashioned scales. And if you wanted a pound of the flour, you would put a pound weight on one scale. And then you would keep adding flour to the other scale until they balanced. Now, I don't know about over here, but I remember people saying that's a worthy balance, or a worthy transaction. It meant what's in one scale is in the other scale. If you put 10 in one scale, you've got to have 10 in the other scale, and then it's worthy. It balances. Now, get that. It's not here talking about a long list of rules and commandments that you become worthy. It means that what you are in your identity, which is given to you as the gift of the Father in Christ, what your identity is by announcement, proclamation, the Holy Spirit witnesses to you, this is who you are. Well, the process now is that your behavior, which begins in your thoughts and imagination, will balance what is in the other scale. And so your identity is balanced by your behavior, which will be both positive and negative. That is, if Christ is my life, then there are many things I will adopt, take up as a new way of life. Meaning, if I have seen that I am the beloved of God, then in my life, the other scale, I will love one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. So the as I have loved you comes first. You see the love of God to you today in the love of Christ. So that now, by the Holy Spirit, is going to be worked into your imagination, worked into your thoughts, and worked out in your behavior, so that you now love as you have been loved. And I say, if you don't love with God love, then it means, at least up to this present moment, you haven't fully seen the love he has for you, because it's always balanced. What you are in Christ is going to show up in an ever-increasing way in your behavior. Mm-hmm. The big one, which many people get confused about, is forgiveness. If you have seen and known that you are forgiven, then the scripture says you will forgive,
yes,
all your enemies. And if you have bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, if you find great joy in gossiping and tearing people apart, then you have no concept that you are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be forgiven and then withhold forgiveness from those who have hurt you. There's a whole parable about this in Matthew 18,
mm-hmm.
And I don't have time to go into it, but Jesus said it more than once, which is significant, that, it's in the prayer that we pray, that he would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yes.
We pray that. And people say, why do we pray for forgiveness when he's already given it to us? Well, it's not really about that. That petition is just what I'm saying, that open our eyes to see the extent to which we have been forgiven is the extent to which we forgive others.
Yes.
And if we don't, then we will be wondering, you know, there's so many believers who wonder who they are. They're confused. They hear of the joy of the Lord. They hear of the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
They were promised, if you say this prayer, it will happen. But it doesn't, you see, because they say, I'm forgiven, but it's words. It's empty. They don't understand it, that they're really forgiven. God has made it as if you never had sinned.
Mm-hmm.
He changes our history. He transforms our past.
Yes.
Well, what am I going to do with that? Just sit on my sofa and thank God? No, he says you go and forgive the world. You forgive everybody, celebrating,
yes,
your forgiveness in forgiving others.
Mm-hmm.
That's worthy. That's the meaning of worthy. It's balanced. What's in one scale is in the other scale. You could talk about blessing. God has blessed you. Well, what are you supposed to do with that?
Bless.
You bless the world. Wherever you go with the intention of blessing. It's the way it is. Well, many have been taught that this Christian life is more like a U-turn. That, put it this way. If you have a hose to water the garden and you turn on the faucet and the water comes out of the hose, and we have been taught in many areas, what you do, God has turned on the faucet. This is a ghastly illustration, but you get the idea. And the love of God, the blessing of God is pouring through to us. What do we do? And we've been taught to turn it back on him. You turn it. And so, Lord, I love you. Lord, oh God, bless God. And we're so happy with God. And he told us over and over again, you are loved only to love others. You are forgiven to forgive. You're blessed. Mm-hmm. And when he washed their feet, do you remember that one? Well, when he'd finished, what do they want to do? Surely it is to wash his feet. He says, no, you've got to wash each other's feet. Everything he does is to pass it on, not to you turn it back to him.
That's so
worthy, worthy. Or there's one more thing about that. Worthy, it speaks of value. And you could carry it through the value of what is in the one scale equals what is in the other scale. What are you worth? That's it, you see. What are you worth? What's your value? When you're put in the scale, what are you worth? Well, who's in the other scale?
Mm.
Jesus.
Yes.
Through the Holy Spirit. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. Therefore, and this really is, I'm tempted to plunge in and preach my way through the next 4 hours, but your worth, the equivalency, is Jesus himself. That's your worth. You see, it isn't that God sort of did something for you and he's up there doing something for you that you can go to heaven when you die. No, that God, the Son, Jesus, became human. He didn't do something for you. He became you. Which means that the value that God places upon you, the equivalency, is Jesus. And that's almost too much just to say it's part of my morning meditation. How much are you worth? What's your value? Your value is Christ. You know, I've said it more than once. The John 3:16, it's a great equation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you make an equation out of that. For God so loved the world. What does that equal? It equals that he gave his only Son. Which means the love that God has for you is his Son. Mm-hmm. That's your worth. That's your value he bestowed upon you. And that, of course, is 110% grace or gift. But it doesn't detract from the fact that that's what he thinks of you. People have turned grace on its head, and all they can say is, he saved a wretch like me.
Mm.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, really?
God's love for you equals what he gives to you. And that he sat with sinners and he told sinners, neither do I condemn you. And when they put nails through his hands, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. God's love for you is beyond our logic. But you don't spend your life wallowing in your misery and obsession with sin. You realize beyond your brain, beyond your logic, but it's true that God values you as he values Christ. One last thing.
That would be separation, like religion that actually separates you from the love of God.
Right.
And it said nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus,
separation.
Our Lord.
Separation is the essence of sin, and it is the hobby of religion, that we are separated. And therefore, I'm the one over here, no good, and humility is to grovel and say I'm no good. And God's up there and away from me. And if you do this and do that and try this and try that, you might get across the gap. That's separation.
Yes.
And it's religion. It's what many of us have been taught all our life.
They're not recognizing the price he paid
for
and valuing what he did to receive our identity.
The price he paid many times is looked upon, you know, as buying something in a store, the price. Whereas what it's saying is God valued you so much that it is beyond any logic, it's beyond any explanation, in that He became us.
Yes.
And in himself carried us to death and resurrection. Mm. And that's our value. And the value is rooted in no separation.
That's right.
The moment you put separation in there, the moment you talk about a gap between us and Christ, then you are at sea as to how your identity is. Who am I? I'm only a sinner saved by grace, you know.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Working at it. Just
That's
one
sick.
Thing. You've started me on something now. do you ever notice that churches historically have steeples? You do have that term in the US, don't you? It's those long pointers that stick up over a church pointing to the sky. You realize that's a message. That's not just a strange symbol. That is the message of religion, that God is up in the sky far away, and we are his little people who live underneath that steeple, trying to please him and trying to... No. If ever I had a church building to preach in of my own, I would never have a steeple. And if it was there, I would hack it down, because it gives the religious symbol that God is up and away, and we're just down here trying to be like him and trying to get his attention and trying to please him. No. Christ is in you.
Yes.
You are in Christ. That's your
yes.
identity. That's your family name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm beginning to shout now. This is supposed to be just a sharing of my meditation. But one last thing, and that is walk. I guess I've done the text backward. Walk worthy of the calling. Well, we started with calling. We looked at worth and worthy. It begins with walk. And that word, well, yeah, walk is walk in any language. But in the Greek, it means more walk around. It's not so much walking to a place or a goal. It's rather walking around. The Greek word is peri. P-E-R-I, and it means to go around something. And so to walk means to walk around, which means, I mean, that's what you do when you go to the shopping mall. You just sort of walk around. You go to the grocery store and you walk around. And it actually fits all of our life, our normal life, our everyday life, the personal in our personal life, we walk around, and it takes us into one room, and the next room, we sit here, we sit there, we do this, we do that. The family gets together, and it's an around kind of thing. Your work, relationships, we walk around in life together. But the whole point is, it's talking about something that happens every day. It's very ordinary. This is not speaking of life that is seen and known by the multitude. Mm. That is the curse. It's another word for it. The curse. Well, it started in the 20th century, but it certainly is the curse today. There were a group of 10-year-olds who were asked what they want to be when they grow up, and their answer was famous. And, of course, when you had these hideous mass killings that we've had so much of these days, the killer wants their picture and name on the front page. Mm. Because, you understand, famous, you can be famous for many things.
Yeah.
And when asked what they meant by famous, they said that everybody will be talking about us and writing about us.
Mm.
And again, no reference to whether that would be good or bad. They just wanted to be famous. And I find that in the church, we've been taught the same thing, that the really spiritual guys are those up on the platform.
Mm.
And if you speak to the world, well, you just gotta be I'm in next to God. And all of that is absolute stupidity and rubbish. My life that you all have seen and known over the decades, yes, I give thanks to God, but my real life before God is when I'm not in the public eye, when the lights are not spotlighting me. My real life, actually, seeing as we're talking about it, is sitting here on the sofa where there's no microphone and there's no camera and no one even knows what we're talking about except Cheryl and me. And then when I'm sitting alone, and especially in COVID, where I didn't see anybody for a long time, that's life. And
yes.
If you think that your Christian life will be determined by your fame in the church or whatever, forget it. Your real life will never be determined there. Your life is how you get out of bed in the morning and what you look like before you go to bed. I mean, it's the daily grind that is the real life. And thank God for the grace and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come when you are ministering to more than 10 people.
That's right.
But that's not your life. That is where actually, when that's happened, if it's happened to you, you know what I mean. You sit back and wonder. It's interesting. I have hardly ever in my life listened to my own messages. And the reason I remember a long, long, long time ago, I listened to one of my messages. And I was so horrified, I couldn't speak for about 2 or 3 weeks.
What?
And the reason was, no, hear me carefully, the reason was I heard the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, I heard him giving words, and my feeling as I listened, I could never repeat that. I can't do that. I don't know what was happening to me then, but I can't do that. And I could not speak publicly for 2 or 3 weeks because I felt I had to do a repeat of what I'd heard, and I couldn't do it. And of course, I realized very quickly that is what the Holy Spirit's gifting is. But when the Holy Spirit does it, if you've got any sense in your head, you will stand amazed and speechless at what he's doing, knowing I can't do this. And that you return then to your normal day, your everyday life, and realize right here is where I live Christ.
Yes.
And when he uses us on a big stage, well, thanks be to God. But don't ever think that defines who you are. Who you are is lived out in minutes, not in 1 hour here or an hour there. It's what your pastor is when the doors are closed and he's alone with his family. That's who the pastor is, not what he says on Sunday morning.
That's right.
And walk around. I don't know if I've conveyed what it means, but it's walk around. It's life not seen by the multitude. It's the unseen, the daily grind. How many people I've heard say, well, if only I could get out of my job and get into full-time ministry. Oh, God help us. I've talked them out of it. No, your daily job is where the real you is really imprinting your real world. That's how it is. Every minute then is of vast significance. You are sending ripples in words you say to one person.
Yes.
Sends ripples to the end of time, the end of the earth. How many people have said, you know, that they are what they are today because some unknown stranger just happened to say something to them in their workplace. And anyway, the time is gone. I hope that we have communicated something to you in being here together. And this is the way we're going to do it. And I'd like to know how you feel about that. But anyway, it is great to have been able to spend this time with you. And now, Father,
yes,
we thank you in the name, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have given to us, every one of us,
yes,
the identity that is Jesus Christ himself in us by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. We are your beloved.
Yes, Jesus.
Now, out of us now let there flow a life that corresponds with who we really are in Christ Jesus. We give every person listening your blessing.
Yes.
We impart your shalom.
Yes.
Bring health and healing and wholeness to everyone.
Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we thank you. And we really thank you. This is not just a tag on. Thank you for all of your gifts that you send to us so faithfully every month.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you that you did it through all those months when there was no word from us. Thank you that you did it because you were not trying to just send it to us. You were sending it into the hands of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
There have been other ministries that have stood in awe at you guys because they lost all their supporters
mm-hmm.
with COVID because the supporters didn't hear what was going on and so quit giving. No, you have not quit giving, but also mm-hmm. many of you come through Zoom who've never met us before and started giving. And so thank you. We mean it.
Yes.
And we shall be back again in July. The blessing of the Lord is with you.
Amen.
Amen.